action, and I will also present our project, so that if you do not understand what's the main point of the project, I will make you a question, right? When did you fly last time? You took an airplane. Just think about it. Maybe it's last summer when you went on holidays, or maybe it's last month when you went on business trip, or maybe yesterday, I don't know.
Today.
Anyway, you're flying much more often than 20 years ago, not to mention 30 years ago when it was the Iron Curtain. That was not easy to travel at all. But not just flights are more frequent, flights are also in average longer. In order to illustrate that, I will show you something that was almost impossible to see 15 years ago, but now you can see it every summer in Bratislava, which are Asian tourists, here looking at this statue of the man at work. And this is just the beginning. Every day, there are more and more people developing countries that can afford a flight. And you just look at two particular countries, which is China and India. They have five times the population of the European Union. So just a portion of these people can fly as often as we do. That's really a lot of emissions, right? So the European Commission wants to reduce these emissions, and that's why they have these air flight paths emission targets. And these are the targets normalized to the year 2000, 75% reduction in carbon dioxide, 90% reduction of nitrogen oxide and particulates, which cause cancer, and 65% reduction of noise. These are really drastic reductions, then they need drastic improvements. And the improvement that will achieve that is what's called hybrid or electric distributed propulsion. This is one concept from Airbus, where you have a gas turbine generator that generates the electricity, and this electricity goes to the superconducting electric motors, which are connected to a fan that generate the thrust. In this way, you don't just have more efficient motors, you also can change the whole design of the whole airplane. You can improve the aerodynamics, you can improve the lift of a drag ratio. And basically, the idea is that when you use conventional combustion turbines, they need to be large in order to be effective, right? So you can have two, or if it's a huge airplane, you could have four. And usually for the short flights, up to 3,000 kilometers, they are only two. But this doesn't happen with electric motors. They have more or less the same efficiency of any load, so you can make many smaller ones and change completely the design of the airplane. So basically, I will explain a bit more about this hybrid concept. There are many kinds of hybrid propulsion. I will explain this one, that you have some generator that burns fuel and, some turbine that burns fuel and generates electricity. Part of the electricity could be also from some battery, and this electricity goes to electric motors. There should be actually superconducting motors, as I will explain later on. What's important? I'm sure that something like that would happen. If it doesn't happen in Europe, it happens somewhere else, because in NASA and Boeing and the United States, they also have similar concepts with an airplane with superconducting generators and many small superconducting electric motors. So in order to keep the leadership of Europe or competitiveness in Europe, so it's necessary to do something. And what we do is this project, Advanced Superconducting Motor Demonstrator, that will consist in the following. So the structure of the talk is the following one. I will talk about the project. And then I will make you some remarks on or recommendations about the Future Horizon 2020 project. So about the project, I will explain the goals, why to use superconductors, which is our consortium, and what's our role. So the goals of the project. Is a superconducting motor for lab demonstration for 1 megawatt. And 20 kilowatts per kilogram. That means it will weigh around 50 kilos, impossible to hold it with both hands if you are a bit strong. And to have an idea, the size and weight, it could fit in the engine part of your car, but with 10 times its power. Of course, it's not designed for that, but it will have 10 times the power of the motor of your car. This figure is very challenging. State-of-the-art conventional electric motors are about 5 kilowatts per kilogram. Right, so that's the order of magnitude. And a conventional synchronous motor, it could be like that, it's one type, where you have some iron parts, also some copper. This is what is called a stator, that's the part that is not turning or not moving. And you also have permanent magnets in the rotor, which is the part that actually moves. But in order to get sufficient power density, you need superconductors, and I will explain why. You can change the copper in superconductor, and in this way, a superconductor can carry much more current density. So just to illustrate, you have this copper to transport 200 amps, and actually only one of those superconducting wires is enough. So you can put more current and increase the power of the stator. Just for a curiosity, these superconducting tapes is a multi-layer structure where the superconducting layer is 2 micron thick and it's 4 millimeters wide. So 2 micron thick is maybe the size of a bacteria, just to have an idea. But you need low temperatures. Nothing comes for free. And high temperature superconductors, like the ones we're going to use, are superconducting below 90 Kelvin. But you maybe need to cool down further for the performance, maybe 20 Kelvin, we don't know. It's possible to cool down by different ways. You could cool down by liquid hydrogen, which could serve as fuel, or you could cool down by cryocoolers. A cryocooler is a sort of refrigerator that you can cool down at very low temperatures. The advantage is that then you can use any fuel, like conventional kerosene. Another way that you can increase the power, and we also are going to do, is to use superconducting magnets. The best superconducting magnets are 10 times stronger than conventional magnets. And here there is the world record of any permanent magnet ever built, 17.7 Tesla from the University of Cambridge, 10 times stronger than conventional magnet. So I explain why superconductors. I will go fastly along the consortium. Actually, we'll not start strictly with the consortium, but with the advisory board, which are just, they're not redoing the research, but they are involved in some, giving some tips. We have Airbus, and we have also Siemens. Then going to the consortium, the coordinator, we are not the coordinators, we're just partners of this project. The coordinator is Oswald Elektromotoren, that it's a relatively small company, medium company of around 180 employees, and they have producing high performance electric motors, and they are already experienced in superconducting motors. Another partner of the consortium is Rolls-Royce, which are making aircraft engines, conventional ones. Another partner is the University of Cambridge, who's making the superconducting magnets. Another one is Demaco, who's specialized in cryostats, and they made the cryostat for the Atlas magnets in CERN. Air Liquide is also important because they have experience in cryocoolers for aerospace. Superox is providing superconducting tape. I will just go shortly. Karlsruhe Institute of Technology is one of the major research centers in Germany. It's a complex of 2 kilometers long by 1 kilometer wide. The other one is a local university of Aschaffenburg, which is experienced in inverters for motors. Then is a small partner, which is also important, which is a management company, right? If your management company is a partner, it helps you a lot because they are in charge of the details with the EU bureaucracy, which is not easy. And of course, we are there, right? We will do some computer modeling and stator characterization. I will talk a bit more about our role and why we are in this project. What we are going to do is electromagnetic modeling of the superconducting stator. This is actually a previous motor, it's not the one we're going to do, just to show you some example. And the big picture you can see, you could make it with some commercial software like ANSYS, but it's much more complicated to get what happens inside the superconductor. And that's what is important for us. I will go to some technical issues, but I will be brief on that. Superconductors are highly nonlinear, so they have a highly nonlinear resistivity below certain current density. They don't have resistivity above. They have, in some paths, you have this current which is above the critical current. There is energy loss, and why is important? The energy loss reduces efficiency. We want to make highly efficient motors, and even worse, it produces heating in something that has to be extremely cold. So you have to have that really under control. We are using our own code. Why our own code, which is programmed in C++? It's because it's faster than commercial, it's optimized for parallel computing, and, we are using already some computer clusters of the academy, and we plan to use the supercomputer Aurel. We could use other supercomputers. And we don't pay licenses. Well, for single computer, they are not so expensive, but if you want to run on a supercomputer, the licenses are quite considerable. Well, I'm filled of rights to explain what we do. I just want to give you the message that we don't just make our own code, we make our own maths, right? So our own numerical method. Here on top, you see what are the partial differential equations, electromagnetic differential equations, time dependent. And we have seen that solving that is the same as solving this functional. And everything has its own meaning. I will not explain the details. They are in these articles that we published. And, well, that's the method. And what is it good for? In the 90s, people was very happy to be able to find the nonlinear eddy currents in these superconductors that cause the losses. We made one world record that is 100 tapes. This is the order of magnitude of turns then superconducting stator has. It was very important at the time. Recently, we made another world record that we modeled up to 10,000 tapes. That's for different kind of problem for magnets, but we are there in the world leadership. And you can use that for industrial applications. We got a subcontract from Victoria University of Wellington in New Zealand, who they made a three-phase transformer, and they wanted to know how much will be the losses of that. So we made the calculations, some magnetic field lines, and some details on how are the eddy currents. These are those graphs there. And we have seen that this corresponds with their measurements, so this modeling is reliable. You can use it to design real machines. Well, this I was talking a bit about myself. Now we're going to talk about you, right? About your future Horizon 2020 project. We are just partners, we're not coordinators. Maybe we cannot give so many advices, but at least we can give you some advice. So there has to be a good consortium, right? So there has to be a balanced proportion of industry and academy. Maybe a bit better that there is more industry than academy. There should not be overlapping, that's very important. And every partner should have this particular task and expertise. Let's say some lab tests, computer modeling, sample preparation, whatever. If there are two that have the same expertise, then you have to really divide very different tasks. Then, if you want to join as partner, which is our case, you should be a good partner. What does it mean? This is where the coordinator asks who I know that could do that task, right? So the first step. And then you should ask to yourself why they should contact you, right, and not somebody else. Well, one option is because you are the only one in the world who can do that, so then it's the best and the easiest. Or, maybe more practical sometimes, you are in a long-term collaboration with a coordinator or a very important partner. So when somebody tells you, how do you know who can do that? Oh, well, we're already working with somebody who does this. Maybe there are other channels. This is, let's say, maybe the main channel we have done in our institute. We have several Horizon 2020 projects I have to say all of them as parallel. Then what you need to do? You have to be highly specialized, right? Don't do 10 things at the same time. One or two things, no more, right? You have to be a world reader in a narrow field, better than doing many things. You have to start collaborations with important labs who already have Horizon 2020 projects. That, of course, helps you a lot because they have already experience. In order to achieve that, what do you need? You need to get well-known. So you have to make presentations in the best conferences worldwide. Of course, make a good presentation is very important, right? So you feel you have to learn on that. Maybe you can contact some professional who will teach you. And sometimes it's maybe better to go to a conference, and the best conference in the world, as a modest poster than having a big, very important, invited talk in a not very good conference. Right? You also have to publish regularly in most read journals, better if it's high impact factor, but at least people have to know about you. And if you're a company, maybe can help you to have some exhibitor and conferences, which not really necessary. And the most important, always do a reliable job, so they know and that they can trust you, because if you don't do the task in the project, it's a problem for everybody. Then if you want to create a project as coordinator, you have people who can give you better advices than me, but I will try to do my best. So you should have already your own public funding research projects, right? Because if you just want to make such a huge leap to be the coordinator, you should have some experience on that. Structural funds could be good sometimes, but it's not enough. They should be more competitive. All future partners need to know you well so they can trust you. And it's not strictly necessary, but it helps that you can contract a company to do the management. So you don't need to take care of all the tiny details. They'll help you on that. Anyway, the scientific background is yours and of your partners, and you take the decisions and you lead the research, right? So the management is just the management. On the project progress, if you have never worked, I will tell you more or less how it is. So you have a collaborative project. Keep that in mind. You are not competing with the others, right? It's a collaborative project. So be collaborative. Constructive attitude is always the best. It doesn't mean that a project which there are some rivalities or some not so much constructive attitude will not be successful, but it always helps a lot. So you only have to focus on solving your technical issue, not intriguing or whatever. While the project progress, you are regularly making tasks for the other partners, and you should share them. There should be some face-to-face meetings between 2 and 4 times a year, depends on the project. Or as well, some telco meetings or teleconference meetings, could be from 1 to 4 a month. In our case, we're making only 2 face-to-face meetings and quite many telco meetings. I was not very happy at the beginning, but then I have seen that if you make more telcos, these face-to-face meetings, you don't need to make them so often. And as well, you take the main decisions there, right? So you discuss all the tiny, small technical details in these telcos, and in the face-to-face, you just go to the big problems. There's, of course, some reporting to the European Commission. You have some annual reports, which is about the research and also financial. You have many deliverables. They are usually reports, but they could also be samples, a prototype, database, whatever. There are some milestones, which are intermediate goals of the project to check the progress. And there is a midterm report. This is very important. The midterm report is a meeting between the European Commission officer and the coordinator, and optionally, they could be the most important partners. But that is what the officer has to decide. There is a go or no-go decision for the officer, right? Usually you have to do it quite bad not to have the no-go, but it could happen, and it happened sometimes. So you really need to do the work. So it's not just about writing reports and whatever, you have to do the work. And with that, I hope that I will give you some advice on how to make your project, and I wish that your new project will take off soon. Thank you for your attention.
Are there some questions from the audience? No, hopefully lunch will be a nicer environment for informal discussions and questions. Thank you. And as a final note, well, I would like to ask Dominika Kacejová from SAIA to provide you with the latest information on SAIA activities and Erasmus.
Okay, so thanks for giving me the floor. To be honest,